This year, Dell Technologies' Back to School event is delivering impressive tech with an inspiring purpose. Learn how Dell is helping ComputerAid, whose work is helping equip solar community hubs with tech and AI literacy skills to empower remote, displaced, or disconnected communities around the world. Help Dell make a difference and shop AI-ready PCs powered by Snapdragon X Series processors at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Summer is supposed to be an opportunity to slow down, but when you look at your kids, you can't help but notice that your kids are growing up fast. Help them build independence as they grow with Greenlight. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families where parents can keep an eye on kids' money habits while kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely. It's the easy, convenient way to raise financially smart kids. Get your first month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/pod.
This is The Rich Eisen Show. The Rich Eisen Show.
This is fun. Paris Bronze, hosted by Mike Del Tufo.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Do you know how to score fencing?
Yes, it's a strike to the chest.
With the what?
Whatever they call it.
With the fence?
With the fence.
Earlier on the show, CBS Sports NFL analyst Jason McCourty, ESPN staff writer Dan Murphy, still to come, author TJ Newman, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. We've had a fun first 2 hours of the show. First hour was fun with Jason McCourty of CBS. Hour two, Dan Murphy talking about the notice of allegations that Michigan may receive from the NCAA. I'll call that more informative than fun.
That's a shame.
So great Seinfeld drop right there.
Del Tufo.
I love how the first 9 years of the show we used Seinfeld from the show Seinfeld saying that's a shame. Maybe, but when then now we have him actually here in studio doing it.
I like Rich Eisen. I find him accessible.
I agree. Thank you.
You've been here so many days in a row now. You're like in a groove of paying attention and hitting drops.
It's great.
I don't even know what that means.
It's amazing.
Great. So
I'm back.
At any rate, we re-air if you missed the first 2 hours on channel 210 of the Roku channel, and we appreciate everybody taking us in. TJ Newman is back in our green room. Worst case scenario is her latest book, which is about, she'll explain what it's mostly about, but it's about a passenger sitting in first class who, by the time he gets to order his meal, they're out of chicken. And the chicken dish that he was, that's a worst case scenario. That's
terrible.
Why do they do that? Sometimes, they go around the cabin to people with higher miles than you and let them choose what they want to eat first.
I don't get that either in the first class.
I thought it's, if you're sitting.
What are we doing?
How does this work?
What do you mean? You got to reward the people who are loyal to you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
They get the chicken dish
first? Absolutely.
I pre-order on United now.
I'm not eating beef on a plane.
Oh,
Rich,
wow. No fish, though.
Pre-order.
To be honest.
You saw Airplane, right?
Yeah. Fish on
people had the fish. That was a problem.
What are we doing? Fish was bad.
They tried to give me a vegetarian enchilada last time on the floor. I was like, what are we doing?
So what? Excuse me. There's a new version of worst case scenario. By TJ Newman. What did they
offer? The offer was a vegetarian enchilada. Oh. And I was like, what? No.
That's like another moment in pop culture Airplane history of vegetable lasagna, right? Wasn't that Elaine was sat next to with Putty on the plane, vegetable lasagna, and they kept breaking up. She broke up with Putty.
All I remember is Putty just staring at his...
That's right, because he didn't bring any reading material.
He was just like...
Right.
He was just staring at the seat in front of him, and she couldn't stand it, so she broke up with him. And vegetable lasagna was sitting next to her. TJ Newman is currently rethinking her choice to appear on this program in our green room right now, I think.
That's a thing now, by the way.
That's her worst case scenario. She's selling her book about her best-selling book. Literally one of the greatest-selling authors on planet Earth right now is sitting in her green room saying, is this really what we're going to talk about? But anyway, she's about to come on out here. We'll have a great conversation with her when she joins us in about 15 minutes' time from now. Fresh back from the Pro Football Boom. Hall
All right,
of Fame.
Let's go. Lay it on us.
You want the jacket dinner first?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, I come in peace to these things always.
Like aliens when they problems.
Not this
I
year.
No
beef.
Come in peace.
Again,
no.
I've been doing the jacket dinner for a long time, and it's an awesome event. For those who may not know, the night before the induction ceremony, where the speeches happen and busts are revealed, the inductees and the Pro Football Hall of Fame receive their jackets, the first tangible item that they receive to cement the fact that what they'd been dreaming of their entire lives was in fact happening. They were going to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it's really cool. You watch the jackets get slipped on them. And in the past, it was the presenters for enshrinement in the ceremony the next day would be the ones to do it on the stage. And they added new components over the last few years as returning Hall of Famers are introduced first and sit in chairs that align the pathways each enshrinee takes to the stage. So one guy comes from the right, and then the next guy will come from the left, and each pathway is lined by Pro Football Hall of Famers wearing their jackets.
A real canyon of heroes.
It's really great. And last year, the Hall of Fame decided to give the enshrinee the option of choosing somebody different from their presenter the next day from the returning class of Hall of Famers to choose one of them to put the jacket on them. And it's awesome to watch that. Patrick Willis chose Mike Singletary, his former coach, right? Nice. Julius Peppers chose Mean Joe Green.
Whoa.
You wouldn't have seen that one coming, right?
It's, yeah, what is their connection?
I don't know. He just maybe loved him. I don't know.
So cool.
It really is so cool. Yeah. Devin Hester was obvious who he would choose. He chose Deion, who we all know considers Devin Hester a son. Like, he took Devin into his family when he was back at the U. Like, he's known Devin Hester forever. And Devin broke Deion's record for most returns in the history of the game. On a Thursday night in Atlanta, Deion on the sideline. And it was one of the most amazing moments I've ever seen. Yet another example of Devin Hester taking one to the house when it was most anticipated for him to do it. And he actually gave the fans what they wanted, him doing it. Mm-hmm. Which is why he's in the Hall of Fame. And so, jacket dinner and I'm the host of it, and it's so much fun for me to enhance the moment from the podium to say, put your hands together, and it's just incredible. And so for the first several years I was doing this in Ohio, I would step to the podium and hear it from many Buckeye fans, and I didn't have an answer for them because Urban Meyer's Buckeyes were kicking Michigan's ass year in and year out. And then Ryan Day's team did it in 2019. And I think even at the 2019 one, or the next year, whatever it was, I even said to the podium as they're heckling me, like, I don't have an answer. You know, I'm retortless. I have no retort. You're right. You know? And then, you know, what's the words for it? Pendulum is swung. Last couple of years I've heard from them and I've given it back because I can now. So I always have one in my back pocket if they engage me first. And now people expect it. Do you know how many people came up to me before the jacket ceremony to tell me, can't wait to hear what you've got to say to them?
I'm sure it was in the airport.
People are now coming up to me and saying, what are you going to say to them? And I'm like, well, are they going to engage me? And they look at me like, I think they're going to do that. I'm like, well, why would they do that? It's three in a row and Michigan just won the national championship. Why would they do that? Sure enough, got up there, cheater, I heard a lot of cheaters, all that stuff. It's coming from everywhere. So I'm like, I even said to him, like, why would you do that? It's like, It's just like an Ohio State fan to not be able to read a room, whether it's Columbus, Ann Arbor, or now this room. And at least, though, for you, Colts great Dwight Freeney's here. So at least someone associated with a horseshoe can tell you what it's like to win a big game.
Wow.
And it got ugly fast.
Boo.
Oh, it got ugly real fast. To the point where I decided, I made a decision on the fly.
Omaha?
Not going any, I can't
yeah,
go any
not,
further.
Okay, you're done. Yeah, you're not, you're not.
I'm not going to go any further.
You're the host.
Well, and Hutch,
yes.
And Hutch wasn't there either to have your back.
Hutch was not there to have my back.
Yeah, you're the host.
Ty Law was there. Charles Woodson was not.
Oh,
okay. So
your numbers were a little
low. Yeah.
Did Roger give you a look?
Oh, he knew it was coming, too. He's okay. Even he said, what do you got planned? Yeah. But my favorite ones aren't the ones as off the top. It's circling back. It's throwing one out there when you don't expect.
Just like a...
So there was an award given out during the ceremony to a gentleman named Fernando Von Rossum, who is a legendary voice of American football in Mexico. And he was given this award for his contributions to the game and what he's doing internationally.
Okay.
And he spoke, and towards the end of his speech, he said, I'm going to deliver some remarks in Spanish. And he did that. And a light bulb went over my head.
Oh,
oh boy.
And I turned to my right, where a member of the Pro Football Hall of Fame was sitting, and I said, do you mind if I go back one more time? And he goes, go ahead. So I stepped to the podium just after he delivered his remarks in Spanish, and I said, listen, my Spanish is a little rusty, but I'm here to translate for you what Fernando just said to the crowd here. So you have to forgive me.
This guy.
My Spanish is a little off maybe, but Fernando said, Michigan has beaten Ohio State 3 straight Novembers.
Boo.
No, that actually got laughs. Okay. I think they even appreciated me. It was 45 minutes removed from the open. Like this thing, like, weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
The circle back. They appreciated that. At least I'd like to think so.
Yeah. They were cursing you on the way home.
I was particularly proud of that one. They didn't expect that because I played it totally straight. Like, I think some people really thought I was just sure, going to translate from Spanish.
Going to be sincere.
And then, you know, not so much. And then came the actual day, which was delayed by 2 hours. I mean,
yeah,
there was,
yeah,
the lightning and the thunder. Yeah. It was a good old fashion Midwestern corker.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself, we're in some trouble, but just like the Midwest, I mean, hour and a half later,
it blows through and you move on.
It blew through it. There was a little bit of rain, I think, in the middle of Randy Gratishar's speech, and he was second up or third up.
Yeah, I could see
Dwight started, right?
Freeney was first. Started. Everyone was wondering if Jordan was going to come. He did.
Yep.
Cuz you know, they're tight. As a matter of fact, the door knock that, you know, Hall of Famers learn that they're in the Hall of Fame now through a door knock in their either home, or Patrick Willis was in his sister's home when the door knock happened for him. Freeney's door knock was at Jordan's golf club.
Yeah.
Grove and Steve Weitz told that story on Friday's show, right? Mm-hmm. That Jordan said, don't wear a T-shirt and shorts. Like, you know, wear something proper because we're going to take photographs for my club afterwards. So
Mike was in on it.
Jordan was in on the awesome. On the ruse. That's and great. Then they come off the golf course, and there's Tony Dungy standing there with a jacket. I mean, in his jacket.
Amazing.
It is great. Steve McMichael getting his bust delivered to him by his teammates is unbelievable. You can see, in not just Hall of Fame teammates, you could see there's Ron Rivera in the photograph. My buddy Trace Armstrong was there as well. But you can see the jackets of Mike Singletary and Jimbo Covert and Richard Dent. Mm-hmm. And his jacket is on him. He suffers from ALS. You can see he's suffering. Or at this point in time, he's hopefully taking this all in. Yeah. and his wife Misty was there as well. They were all at the Jacket dinner the night before. They all went to Chicago. Wow. They were all there Friday night. And by Saturday, they were there with his bust. They put his jacket on him, and they had the moment. And Richard Dent delivered it, and it was incredible. And I say kudos to the Hall for doing this. Hey, because you remember, you know, when there are people who are not there, or in, thankfully in the case of Steve McMichael, he's alive still. We're just hoping he is taking this in. You know, guys who are passed away. There were some dicey moments with Junior Seau too, right? Yep. Of the Hall maybe not handling the situation.
Usually it's just a quick video and they kind of move on.
Yeah, like let's send the bust and the jacket with his wife and his Hall of Fame teammates, and his other teammates will be there, and we'll go to it live and we'll make it part of the ceremony.
Yeah, it was awesome. I mean, it's such a tragic
Of course it is.
Thing, obviously, but that moment, and I was watching an interview with Ron Rivera, and Ron was like, you could look at his eyes, and he goes, you could tell he knew, and he was happy.
And Steve McMichael, you know, Mongo's accomplishments were discussed at length.
Mongo was a beast.
By the way, he almost had 100 sacks as a defensive tackle in a 46 defense that wasn't built for him to have as many sacks.
Right.
And we also know his other many accomplishments in life.
I think he started with
wrestling, right?
185 games.
And his most incredible accomplishment may be telling Angel Hernandez how much he sucked behind home plate when he sang "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." And remember, Angel Hernandez turned around and stared at him, almost ejected him from Wrigley Field. Yeah. Right? Come on now. Let's talk about all his accomplishments.
Yeah. And like you said, wrestling, he was a member of the Four Horsemen. I mean, it's hard to get better than that.
The other speeches were excellent. Devin Hester's speech was excellent. His bust is next level.
Yeah, it is.
Look at that with the dreads.
Wow.
That goes in with Troy Polamalu and Kevin Green. Some of the best hair in the history of the bust room, bust gallery.
Edge James had a really great one with the hair.
Yeah.
Yes.
Edge
has
a good one.
Correct. Good one.
Is he wearing a goat chain?
Yes, he is. He wore a goat chain.
It's like Simone Biles, you know.
He wore a goat chain. Yeah. He thought he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer. And, you know, I think the only reason why he was not is people just, for some reason, don't give the specialists their due. And that'll be up next year when Vinatieri's first year eligible. Yep. I thought the speech Patrick Willis gave talking about growing up and in a spot where up the hill his grandparents were living, they were the ones with the running water. Mm-hmm. He didn't have running water where he lived. And he remembers as an 8-year-old carrying the buckets of water from his grandparents' spot down to his. And he thought to himself, as an 8-year-old, if I can make it without dropping these, I'm stronger for it.
Wow. Yeah.
Talk about that story. Yeah. You know? Andre Johnson going in as the first Texan. J.J. Watt was there. Mm-hmm. Dwight Freeney talking about Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison. They were returning Hall of Fame. Hey, give it up. Peyton Manning, I think, has been back every year.
Seems like it.
By the way, he's the last quarterback to go in, too. Class of 2021. That's three straight classes without a quarterback. His brother.
Even about that.
Who's next? Eli's next year, right?
Next year.
Yeah.
And
he's not going to make it.
By the way.
Sorry.
Oh. He's making it. Just not first ballot.
Okay. That's what I
meant. But he's getting
Well, that'll be the conversation for future. I'll push back on that. That'll be for another time. Okay. Let's talk about these guys now.
Yeah. That's my fault.
I mean, no. But he's next year. I'm the one who brought up next year.
Yeah.
So, but it was just another neat weekend.
It's one of the best weekends in sports, man. Football fan or not.
And it's also the only Hall of Fame that is at the outset of the upcoming season. All the other Halls of Fame are during, or baseball does
kind
it
in
their season. Yeah. Basketball does it in their off season.
Basketball is, let's see, September, early September. It's kind of a little bit before.
Right, but this is now sports back.
Yeah.
Honor the past while being excited for the present.
Yeah, Julius Peppers, he shouted out MJ also.
Only first ballot Hall of Famer of the class, he shouted out MJ too.
Yep.
Who, by the way, stuck around for him too.
Awesome.
And then he stuck for the parties. UNC. I saw him at Freeney's party too.
You saw MJ at Freeney's party?
I wasn't there at the parties. I got out of Dodge to do the thing. I can't say that I did yet.
Got it.
But there's that.
Yeah, it's great. Love the Hall of Fame.
So that's my Hall of Fame review.
Really awesome.
Worst case scenario, TJ Newman, one of the best-selling authors on planet Earth, hurt origin story as well. We covered it the last time that she was in here. Is outstanding as well. But of course, we're going to utilize her vast knowledge of the aviation industry in the only way we know how, which is to drag her into our silly arguments. We did that the last time.
We did.
We're going to do it this time.
Yeah.
TJ Newman next on The Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
The Rich Eisen Show is sponsored by Grainger. Does this sound familiar? You're a maintenance specialist, and you've been squaring off with a leaky radiator at your facility for hours. You're both drenched in sweat. You've thrown the whole playbook at it, but so far it's got an answer for everything. What you need is a teammate, a pro who's seen it all before, and that's Grainger. With support specialists always ready to chat, the product you need, plus a million more, just give this ringer a ring. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by one of their local branches. Larry David, we've done this before with you.
Yeah.
I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane.
Yes.
To somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers, Ken Tulo. They brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's a
perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if you placed it on the table and there's no note,
yeah,
that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry, LD, shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane?
I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay. You know, don't make yourself, it's not your house. All right. You're outside. You're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of minutes. Keep your shoes on.
All of LD's appearances are on our YouTube channel. Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Our next guest was on previously for her best-selling novel, Drowning, after her best-selling first novel, Falling, the latest and greatest that's coming out on Tuesday, August 13th. But you can pre-order right now. Worst Case Scenario by TJ Newman. Good to see you, TJ Newman.
Good to see you, too. Thank you for having me back.
You got it. And Worst Case Scenario is all about being rerouted through Newark.
Ooh.
And so you should have reached out to me to help you with your research. I've been waiting. I mean, I cannot get on Newark Airport enough, you know.
You have described a real life worst case scenario. Yeah. I've been there. The worst delay I ever had in my life was in Newark.
So you we're like this on that
we
front.
We can show battle scars. It's a
But worst case scenario is not about that. I'll give you the floor on how best to describe it, since this is your book. What do you have for me, TJ?
Worst case scenario is essentially just that. It is what happens when a commercial airliner crashes into a nuclear power plant.
Ah! Ooh. So there's that.
There's that.
And it crashes because the pilot has a heart attack.
Has a heart attack. First, it's not a spoiler. First sentence of the book is 35,000 feet. Pilot has a Widowmaker heart attack and dies instantly.
But isn't there normally somebody else to help on that front?
There is, not okay. if they're in the bathroom.
Oh, yikes.
Look at you. Good Lord, how the hell do you think this stuff up? TJ Newman.
10 years working on the plane. Big imagination.
So really, your origin story is you spent 10 years as a flight attendant.
Correct.
And so in between, you know, shifts, or you're literally sitting on a plane and you're thinking about this stuff.
All of the above. Okay. The idea for this one, actually, yes. the seed for the idea for this was planted when I was doing research for my first book, Falling.
Uh-huh.
And I would ask pilots all the time, lots of questions about, you know, the nuts and bolts of flying, the policy, the procedures,
yes.
That aspect of flying. But I would also ask some questions about the emotional aspect of being a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And the question that I would ask over and over was, what's your biggest fear? As a pilot, what is your biggest fear? And it was kind of surprising because the answers started being fairly repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of similar answers about wires. Pilots get worried about getting caught up in power lines. They worry about decision making, that they will make the wrong call in an emergency, or that they'll freeze and that they won't be able to make any call in an emergency.
And you would ask this of pilots that were piloting your flights
Yeah, these are my friends. These are guys I'm flying with. It would just, you know, casual conversation. I would just ask them things like
just
this.
Out of the blue.
Yeah. Hey, long flight. You gotta, you know, drive to the airport, yeah, you know, from the hotel.
You know, that's sort of like, you know, lack of a better analogy, asking a golfer about, you know, what do you do when you take your club back here and then suddenly puts a swing thought in their head and then suddenly they're slicing it all the way into the woods. You know what I mean? Like, you're not concerned about putting this thought in your colleague's head?
No. Okay. They're telling me they're putting their thoughts in my head.
Ah.
So, yeah. So it's the other
Look
way
at me,
around.
I should have, and now you're a best-selling novelist
pilots.
Over that.
We're talking about professional golfers. You know, they're
yeah.
They got this. They're under control.
So I'm the weak one. Don't ask me about my swing, basically.
I won't ask you your biggest fear in flying either. No. Or your
well, I mean, I already told you it's flying through Newark Airport.
Right. This is true.
Right.
But all the answers were kind of, you know, a little bit repetitive. But
sure.
Then one day, I had one pilot who straight-faced looked at me and said, my biggest fear is a commercial airliner crashing into a nuclear power plant. And it caught me off guard.
Damn.
Yeah, exactly. I
right.
was like, what? And I also thought he was joking to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of laughed it off and started explaining, you know, all the reasons why I wasn't afraid of that. And, you know, they've shown. We live in a post 9/11 world. They've shown that if something was to happen like that,
yes.
that the containment structures are fortified enough that this isn't going to be an issue. You know, yeah, I give all my reasons as to why I'm not afraid of it.
Yes.
And he just listens to me and he's nodding his head the whole time. And when I finally finish, he looks at me and goes, and that's exactly what they want you to think.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And so that was when the idea for this story, the seed was planted.
You immediately wrote that down? Somewhere?
Something like that. You don't okay. have to write down. That one gets locked away. Yeah. I'm not going to forget that. I'm going to lose sleep over it.
Sure.
But I'm not going to forget it.
Right.
Yeah.
And so then now comes this book.
And I have to tell you, Rich, I do a lot of research for all my books.
Sure.
And it didn't take me long to understand what he was implying when he said that.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to tell you, the research for this book, it scared the hell out of me. And it really actually gave me pause to writing it because I wasn't sure I wanted to live in the world that I saw possible for the months that it would take to write this book. It's a pretty scary thing because the premise of this book is actually pretty plausible.
Worst case scenario.
Not just for a plane crashing into a nuclear power plant, which, you know, yes, is an extreme example, but,
right.
You know, the vulnerabilities of a nuclear power plant are they're there.
Sure.
Yeah.
I know. And so, but let's just hope that this doesn't happen while the other, the co-pilot's in the bathroom, right?
Again, it's a, this is a black swan event. This is a very, you know,
sure.
They call events like this actually low probability, high consequence events.
Sure.
Right? Like, what are the chances? What are the odds that something's going to happen? It's uh-huh. it's not going to, but chances aren't zero.
Worst case scenario by TJ Newman, a new novel that's going to be available next week, Tuesday, August 13th, wherever you get your books, you can pre-order right now. Where are we on turning your other books into TV shows or movies or anything like that?
We're moving along. Falling is with Universal and Drowning is with Warner Brothers.
Do we have actors, actresses attached?
We have attached? Director attached, a Oscar-nominated director of Captain Phillips and I-93. Paul Greengrass is directing Drowning.
Oh, that's serious business
it's
there.
Very I mean, he, serious
didn't
business.
He do, I think he did. Did he do the first born or did the second born? The second born.
Yep.
Okay.
Second born.
All right.
Yep. Feeling in very good hands there.
Okay.
And the screenplay for Drowning is being adapted by Steve Clovis, who is best known for the Harry Potter movies.
Correct.
Yeah, which is a pretty substantial adaptation. So feeling very, very good that my story is in his hands. I know, extremely.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
How involved are you in either of these? Like how deep do you get involved in this?
With Falling, I'm actually doing the adaptation myself. So I'm writing the screenplay for Falling. Yeah.
How would you like that endeavor of doing something completely different?
Completely different. You're totally right. It is like learning a new language. It has been the most wild learning experience and so fascinating too, because like I wrote, you know, over 40 drafts of that book before it became the final product. I know that story backwards and I thought I'd figured out every way that you could possibly tell that story.
Right.
And then I go to adapt it and it's like, oh, there's still whole new aspects to this that I didn't know. To translate, you know, how do you take a story that took 300 pages in a book, how do you compress it down to 100 pages for a script?
Right.
While still telling the same story. And also, some things that work in a book don't necessarily work in a movie and vice versa. So it's been a fascinating experience to reshape that story again.
And are you circling around the thespians that you're interested in right now, or what?
I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say.
You I don't want to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to like.
So you're in a holding pattern,
door.
To use the phrase?
There you go. We should translate everything to.
You're in a holding pattern?
Yeah, exactly. I'm in a holding pattern.
Man, I hate holding patterns. What do flight attendants think of holding patterns? Terrible, right? It's the worst.
Yeah.
No?
We're ready for the shift to be done. We're
you're ready
to
right?
land.
You're thinking like it's
thinking,
over.
We're already at the hotel. We're already thinking of going down to the bar to have a drink. You know.
You are.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're just like the passengers. We're ready to get to the hotel. We're ready to get home.
Yeah, I got caught in a holding pattern going into New York City the other day. Wound up in Pittsburgh. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
These things happen.
Exactly.
And then we wound up flying back to New York that night anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But that's for another novel. So we're going to rope you in, if you don't mind, TJ Newman, into another conversation since we last had you on. I think the last time, what did we go into? We went in the shoes off on a plane issue, and also the middle seat armrest situation. Did you ever have a breakup, an argument over who has a middle seat armrest in your career?
No, that's
passengers
when,
never had.
No,
okay,
I don't think so.
So what's the craziest thing somebody ever hit the call button for you on?
The first thing that came to mind, this wasn't the craziest things, but it just shows you, I firmly believe that when the moment you step inside an airport,
yes.
like brilliant, smart people, just common sense and just like logical thinking, just out the door.
Out the window.
Out the window.
Normal, smart people just can't think straight.
Right. We were taking off out of LA and we're call button goes off right after we leave, like right after wheels up. So... call button goes off.
You can't even get up to go get it, right?
Exactly. But when it happens that soon, also, I kind of think it's an emergency. So, I'll break the rules. I'll bend the rules for that just because it's like something may be seriously happening.
Yes.
So call button goes off. I get up. I go out there. Woman's sitting at the window and she's looking out the window. And I said, can I help you, ma'am? And she's pointing out the window at Catalina, at island out there at Catalina. And she goes, is that Hawaii?
Oh.
Hit the call button.
Hit the call button. Got me out of my seat at a time that was not safe or prudent for me to ask me if the island, the landmass outside the window, about
in California.
In California.
Yes.
Was Hawaii.
I hope you said yes.
How did you respond?
I don't. I think I put on, you know, my standard flight attendant smile that just masks all internal thought. You know, the most gentle smile I could plaster on, my customer service smile, and I was just like, I don't think so. I think that might be Catalina, although I'm not sure. And just sort of walked away.
But you didn't admonish? Like,
no.
Come on, though, no. But she shouldn't be hitting a call button. Like,
no,
this isn't like Ask Jeeves.
You know, and I try
back
to,
in the
I
day
try to
here.
I try to remember, you know, anytime I do something like that, I remember the time that I was shopping in a store and there were plants there, there were succulents, and I was curious as to the maintenance and care on them.
Yes.
And so I got someone who worked at the store and I said, you know, I'm a flight attendant, I'm out of town a lot.
Yes.
Are these plants, you know, how hardy are these plants or is it going to die? And the woman looks at me and she goes, it should be okay because it's plastic. And so every time I want to, like, give someone, you know, a hard time for a Catalina question, I just remember the time you asked a woman if a fake plant was hard to maintain?
You're being too kind because you didn't ask a question in, say, the 3 to 5 minute period where there's a regulation by the federal government in which everybody needs to stay seated for everyone's safety. Like, if that person working the flower shop had that 5 minute period, then I think we're apples to apples. You know what I'm saying?
That's fair.
That's what I'm saying. So I wouldn't have minded if you gave a little bit of pushback, but you're too nice. Wow. That's awesome. So what about this question? I'm kind of stunned that this is an issue, which a lot of people are then stunned to think that I find this of issue for people. Where do you stand on reclining your seat? I mean, that people apparently find this an affront if somebody reclines the seat.
I personally, I'm 5'3¾", yes. So it is not of extreme importance to me.
Yes.
I don't usually recline the seat,
right,
just in case there's someone taller behind me who needs that extra leg room.
Yeah.
I also just don't find it to be that much more comfortable if I'm, you know, at a 90-degree angle versus...
Right.
I don't do math.
Understand.
In a writer, I don't do math and angles.
You're more verbal.
Yeah.
I didn't do well on the math and the SAT either.
Yeah.
I was more verbal as well, although I'm not a best-selling novelist.
Yeah.
But removing your own height from the equation, just in general, is it apparently, is it... an affront to actually utilize the button that's on the...
It's not an affront. The button's there. You can use it.
That's what Chris and I say. There are many others who think that it's an issue, like TJ Jefferson, who is of a certain... The other TJ, if you will, on the set right now.
Long TJ.
He has a problem if somebody reclines in his space.
Well, yeah, but TJ, how tall are you?
6'3".
There you go.
So what's the cutoff? What's the height cutoff for being offended by somebody, you know, reclining into them, right?
To me, that just comes to common courtesy.
Yeah.
I think if I recline my seat into TJ's space, I don't think he'd be upset. He would understand that it is within my right.
Oh, no, I'd be upset.
No, he'd be upset. That's what I'm saying.
I mean, I wouldn't do nothing.
And we talked
to you
about this.
I wouldn't like punch the back of your chair or nothing, but I'd sit there and talk about you the entire
time. That's what I'm saying. And remarkably, Larry David, sitting in that chair a couple months ago, was upset with me that I have no problem reclining. None. And I will not only do that, but we already discussed about FAA violations. I will actually use the gravitational force of takeoff to just recline on the spot.
Oh, now that I'll push back on. Now I'm going to put on my flight attendant hat. Do you know the reason that you have to have your seat in a full and upright position during taxi takeoff and landing?
Never thought about it.
It is for the egress of the row behind you. So in the event of an emergency evacuation is necessary,
yes,
the people behind you, you've now blocked their exit off the aircraft.
How have I done that?
Because you
what if I have an aisle? I mean, what if I got a window?
In the way.
Huh?
You put something in the way of them.
So I'm actually causing a dangerous situation.
Yes, you might. Yes, that is the point. See? Here's the thing that I feel like people don't understand. Flight attendants are not like, you know, we don't want to like control. We don't want you to be uncomfortable. we're not, I don't care where your bag is. I do care that if it's out, the person sitting in the window next to you is not going to be able to get over that bag if they need to evacuate the aircraft. And in the event of an emergency evacuation, those seconds matter. That's the point of the reclining seats being upright. Same thing with tray tables. That's the reason we have your tray tables up.
Okay.
Everything is so that...
It's an obstruction situation.
It's an obstruction situation. The whole idea is, how do you keep this area as clear as possible so that we can get off of this airplane as fast as possible if we have an emergency situation?
So reclining, okay. Using the ascent gravitational force, not okay.
Not okay.
So you got to wait for the beep, for the bong? So what, yeah. you got to wait for the...
Yeah.
To, okay.
So taxi takeoff and landing is statistically the most dangerous phase of flight. So if anything is going to go wrong, it's yes. going to be most likely during that period of time. So just for that, you know, little bit, just keep your seat upright. Although I do love that you use it as like a rocket blast
yes,
off,
correct.
Basically.
G-forces.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever G-forces yeah. there are, I'm not a scientist either. I'm yeah. trying to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I appreciate that.
To my advantage.
Yeah. A little Top Gun going on right now.
I'm always, yes, exactly. I'm like the, I'm Maverick is what I'm saying, of seat reclining. Yeah. I'm the Maverick of the seat reclining. If you don't mind.
Yeah, I get it.
Thank you.
Get the impulse. I totally get the impulse.
Well, now you know, Rich, that's nothing to be proud of,
yeah.
as TJ just told you.
See?
I tried to tell you. Larry David tried to tell you. Now TJ's telling you.
No. Again, I am now going to stop doing this at the most dangerous time of the flight. I have been taught. I have now been corrected.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to be a better citizen.
I doubt it.
But I have the right to utilize the button that is there on the armrest to actually take advantage of reclining my seat and not think about it.
So it's okay that you put your seat
bigger problem,
into my face like this and I got to sit here for
bigger
six
problem.
Hours?
I have a bigger problem with you using the back of my seat as a way for you to get out of yours.
Well, you can't have it both ways, bro. You can't recline your seat and then have me try to shimmy my way out. No, I'm going to grab your seat to
you
stand
point,
up.
First
Rich.
Of all of these are much less on the transgression scale of hitting the call button to ask about what's outside your window as you're taking off.
True. I mean,
that's very true.
Bless you for not ejecting that woman.
Thought about it.
But you should use that in some of these. I know that doesn't kind of fit maybe the spirit of what you're writing about. But
that should be a scene.
The first
in the movie.
One, Falling, had a little bit more of passengers being a little more.
Okay.
You know, like that,
okay.
asking some pretty interesting questions.
And, okay. Yeah. What's next? Do you already have another one? Are you already on to the other one, or no?
I've always got something going. I'm working on lots of stuff at all points in time, but I got to say, 3 books and a script in 4 years, I'm taking a vacation.
You are?
Yeah, I need to take a vacation.
Okay.
I need to take a little break. Right.
And so have you gone on planes where you're recognized and they're like, you know, the author of all of these plane disasters is now sitting on our flight right now?
I try to go incognito for that for that purpose. Sometimes it's not, you know... The best, pulling out this book with the cover on the flight is a little...
It's aggressive.
I get it. I do get it.
That's right.
Yeah. But when I go on tour for my book, like I'm getting ready to go on tour for this, and I'll bring
sure.
copies of the book for the crew, and I give it to them, and usually there's a pretty big instant connection, because...
You're one of them.
I'm one of them. It's a tight community. Yeah, aviation family. It's a tight, tight community.
Worst Case Scenario by T.J. Newman, a novel that will be available where all books are sold by just grabbing a copy, where all books are sold on Tuesday, August 13th. But obviously you can pre-order right now and keep an eye out for Falling and Drowning as well to catch up on your work, and keep an eye out again for everything else going on this program. Good to see you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
You got it. TJ Newman is here at T_J_Newman on the Hellscape of X, and at TJ_author on Instagram to keep track of everything that TJ Newman is doing. Back to wrap up this show in a sec. Hey, everybody. This just in. It's summertime. It's time to go and do all those summer things, like going to a baseball game. During the summer, I'm about to do exactly that, and I know exactly what to do And you should, too. You should go look forward to making new memories this year by going to a ball game using Game Time, the authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, which makes getting tickets faster and easier. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to the first pitch, so you can wait to buy your tickets with killer last-minute deals. The all-in prices feature, you get to see how much everything is before you purchase. Views from your seat, you know exactly where you're getting your seat, and the view of the field from it. Their lowest price guarantee, of course, that's Game Time. Takes the guesswork completely out of buying MLB tickets. Download the Game Time app. Create an account and use my code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account. Redeem my code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Let's talk about Sleep Number, people. We all know in the NFL there's no margin for error. A single mistake can change the outcome of a game. We all know that. And proven quality sleep, yeah, believe it or not, can boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall performance. You know that probably in your real life. The same thing goes in the National Football League, which is why Sleep Number is, in fact, the sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. Partnering since 2018, 8 out of 10 players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70, just 10 numbers apart, but it is the world of difference because being able to adjust your bed's firmness after working out for recovery, that is game changing. So right now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, you can save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed plus special financing for a limited time only at a Sleep Number store, or you can go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number is the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League. See store for details.
When you see the video of you throwing to Tyree, okay, what do you think of when you see that?
I just smile. I'm just thankful for David Tyree, man. There's not a better person and a guy who just, who had the worst week of practice in the history of all practices on that Friday and dropped every pass and, thought he was going to be the starting receiver. And then Flacco, comes back and plays that game. And then, sure enough, in the game, David Tyree has a touchdown catch and then makes the catch, with Rodney Harrison hanging all over him.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Papa giving the call saying, he's got a wide open receiver, and I guess that's wide open in the NFL. And, David Tyree, just the will, the desire was there, and just catching it off the helmet, just what an unbelievable story. Never get tired of watching that play.
All right, well, Chris Brockman, my on-air compadre here, what do you tell him? Go ahead, tell him what you say every time. Now that he's here, you can say it to his face. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, usually I say it to Sean O'Hara because Sean is here, but right. I mean, there were 14 different holdings on that play.
He sees holding. Eli, what do you say to that? When he
says holding?
Yeah, he sees holding.
I didn't see it. How can you have holdings? They didn't block anybody. Line just like, all right.
They
let him run in. Almost get sat by all four players. They kind of just blocked him off. It's not really holding. If the guy's holding me, like a defense player is holding me, I think you're allowed to do whatever you want
to the
pass rusher at that point. If I'm in the grass, they can just grab him off though and pull him off. It's kind of free range at that point.
I agree. You, Chris, you see holding. Eli sees grasping. That's what he sees.
I see the greatest play ever.
That's right. There's a giant.
I was right there, Eli. I was sitting right there.
I was there in the building.
That's it. Love it. Fun conversation. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Game Time tickets. Go buy tickets to anything in your area. Music, comedy, theater, obviously sports, baseball season. It's now August. Let's go. Go to a baseball game and use Game Time tickets. The all-in pricing feature shows you the total up front with no surprise fees at checkout. The panoramic view with the seat view feature. You get to see the panoramic view from your seat in the app before you buy. The coverage, the purchase is covered with the most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. That's how you take the guesswork out of buying baseball tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH. You get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH, $20 off your first purchase. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. It is Xander's birthday. He's 16 years old today.
Yay, X-Man.
X-Man.
My oldest son is 16.
Wow. Man.
Oh, Rich. Is Susie freaking out right now?
Blink, right?
She's in New York with him at her mom's.
And happy belated birthday to Susie, too.
Yeah, Susie's birthday. She and Tom Brady share the same birthday. Yeah, so
of course.
She's the GOAT as well. At any rate, the reason why I bring it up is it's hotter than all get out on the East Coast right now.
Yeah,
it is. It is indeed. Imagine going through training camp when it's hotter than all get out. Most teams go through that. Out here in Southern California, it's not the humidity, right, and all that business.
Dry.
But
dry,
it is like, it, if it's like, it's, you know, like Mars or Mercury hot, right? Yeah. And it's training camp. And you've been there for now a week and a half. And you're going against your teammates. You want to start hitting somebody else. Yeah. But in the meantime, you're going to start hitting your teammates. It is that time of year.
It's fight season.
It's fight season.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, first week of training camp season is all, you know, 7-on-7, 11-on-11 video reporting.
Yep.
You know, Rodgers and Garrett Wilson having arguments that are really, you know, like, healthy, I think.
Kind of nothing.
Right,
burgers,
but now it's like fisticuffs. Giants had a couple today. Apparently one after Daniel Jones had his arm hit by a defender.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's just like, don't get near him. And, you know, Joe Shane at one point comes out to try and break this thing up. The general manager's out there.
Wow.
This is apparently, look at the flag on the play, like that's going to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, they're trying to restore order here. That's Joe Shane. You see him in the gray shorts there? Right there. In the glasses on the left.
Yeah.
That's a GM. You see Daboll in there?
Ooh. I also see you staying on the outskirts.
The first one, apparently, Daniel Jones got in the mix.
You got to love it when the quarterback gets into it.
I know, the lineman, because apparently he was defending his lineman. That's the stuff.
Yeah,
that's the training camp stuff. That's the training camp stuff. And if, oh man, Daniel Jones.
11-6 Giants.
Dude,
let's go.
I know. He's trying to be high on him. Daniel Jones had this to say.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Situation happens like that. You got to stand up for your guys. But I thought it was good competitive practice all day today. And you know, we made some plays and did some good things. There's some things we need to shore up for sure. But. Good, you know, good intensity and competitive spirit.
His face is smaller than his neck, right? His neck is bigger. I mean, I
like he's scruff. Like, he looks great.
Dude, he looks like an incredible.
He doesn't look like he's selling insurance like he used to look like.
Come on, Daniel Jones.
Shaving.
Let's go, Daniel Jones.
This is great.
Yeah. Let's
come
go.
On. Earn that money you don't deserve.
I just want to see like salty Daniel Jones, right?
Oh.
Daniel Jones and Malik.
I want to see salty DJ. Let's go, man.
Can he be salty?
Brian Burns had this to say.
What do you think or when you hear that, you know, your quarterback is in the middle of one of those scuffles?
Oh, Lord. Daniel got jiggy with it. Daniel was out there with it? Yeah. I'm going to need him to back up. I'm going to need him to back up. Let his O-line handle that. But, Daniel, he's a competitor, man. He's a fighter, so. I don't expect nothing less from him, but I don't need him in that. I don't need him to get hit.
Let's go. Let's get the Giants going. Brian Burns is going, by
too
the way.
Jiggy with it.
Brian Burns is going to be introduced to the American NFL fan, with all due respect to Carolina. He's now in New York.
Yep.
And if he starts balling out in New York the way that he does in Carolina, it would be hard to think that he won't.
Sandwich commercials.
It's coming. It's coming. And that's what you need. You need Daniel Jones. Get in there. Start getting in people's faces. That's not his game. I understand it. That's what I want against the Vikings to start, if that's what you're looking for. You know, and
Giants 3-0 for Dallas week 4. DJ, let's go.
All they got to do is score one touchdown at home or 3 points at home, and they're already ahead of the last time they played the Giants, the Cowboys at home on national television.
That was not good for them.
Okay, so. Giants being better is better for everybody.
Yes.
End of story.
Agreed.
End of story. And Daniel Jones is spicy Daniel Jones. Let's go. I want to see Daniel Jones on Hot Ones. That's the start of it.
On Hot Ones.
That's the start of it. And then we build from there.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people.
from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Tucker Carlson.
What is it that you think that people gravitate towards?
I'm not self-aware. I refuse to be self-aware. I don't even look in mirrors at all, which you can probably tell from my appearance. I don't have a crazy high IQ, or I really don't have that many skills. I would say my main skill is I believe my instincts. I don't hesitate to follow my instincts, ever. The extent that I have, I've gotten in trouble.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.